Well, fellas, springtime's here, and that means Cardinals, Blues playoffs, and shrubs. Yes, I said shrubs because, well, we all have them.
Shrubs as wild as the Australian bush.
The only place I go for my shrubs is Tease Farm and Greenhouses. Locations in Maryland Heights, St. Charles, and North Hanley make them your one-stop shop for all gardening needs. Be like me and Tim's lawn crew and go to Tease Farm and Greenhouses for your yard needs.
Yeah, I mean, I went to St. Louis U High. I don't have to do manual labor.
Tell them CBS Sports Radio sent you in for great discounts on your purchase.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, which are at Ryan Kelly's world headquarters today here in Brentwood. We will be joined by Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch and co-host of the Writer's Block coming up here in a matter of moments. And Kelly Chase, brought to you by GFI Digital at 9 o'clock. Your emails for the email of the day, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. That comes your way in about an hour and 15 minutes. Mascot Agency is a company that helped us with our new website. They are creative, that works as hard as you do. Come one, come all, come big, come small. They work with clients of every size and every industry. It's creative with character. They help their clients be as big as their imaginations. You can contact them at 314-650-9083. 314-650-9083. See their work for yourself at mascotagency.com. Like them on Facebook, Mascot Agency, and you can follow them on Twitter at Meet Mascot. They do new business launches and startups, nonprofit work as well. It's graphic design, general creative services, design and development, all at Mascot. Mascot Agency, 314-650-9083. The Cardinals getting swept by the Washington Nationals, and we will get the perspective of the great Derek Gould right now here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Good morning, Derek.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. You would think in a weekend in which the Cardinals are able to keep Bryce Harper off the base paths that it would lead to at least something, but unfortunately there was just a whole lot of nothing all weekend from the Cardinals offensively. They continue to struggle against winning teams, 1-8 now on the season against teams with a record above 500, and they didn't even face Jake Arrieta, John Lester, or Garrett Cole in their games against the Pirates or Cubs. Your thoughts on the Cardinals and why they seem to be so inefficient, especially offensively, against the better teams?
They're not as good as them. How's that for analysis?
Wow, that's it. That's it. I can fit that in 140 characters.
Yeah, I mean that's the case right now. I mean that was, I think, probably coming into spring or coming into the season, if you took a glance at how, now the Cubs weren't playing all that great at that time, but you give a team a chance to put its team together like the Cardinals had. But coming out of spring, a lot of the things that they were doing there and that they were struggling with, have followed them into the season. And that's to be expected. You know, they're not as finely tuned defensively as they need to be. Two of their best pitchers, two guys that they needed to be at their best, have not pitched as well. You know, Adam Wainwright has been searching most of the season. Big start for him tonight as he continues to make improvements over the past week. Some rather significant strides for him there on that road trip. And then Mike Leake is still searching for, you know, he's pitched better than maybe his win-loss record, but he hasn't been as good as he can be. And those two guys need to be a part of this and need to be contributing in big ways for the Cardinals to have success against winning teams, for the Cardinals to have success against any team, and for the Cardinals to stay in contention. But, they're just not as good as these other teams. Washington and the Cubs are the class of the National League and probably will be for much of the year. The Cardinals should be able to compete better with the Pirates. They should not be happy playing to 500 against this current Arizona team. And, you know, I'll put it this way. People were asking me if this past weekend series was a litmus test for the Cardinals. I don't see it that way. But this Phillies series is pretty interesting because, you know, the Phillies come in with a winning record, but they are not a winning team. So how do the Cardinals play against them?
And they have won six in a row, which is hard to believe, but the Phillies are somehow pulling it off. I agree with you. I said going into the season, the bullpen and the starting rotation would be the strong suits for the Cardinals, and we haven't seen it from the starting rotation. Bullpen's been outstanding. And then offensively, I thought they would do enough to win a lot of 3-2 type games. I thought that would be their M.O. Instead, it's been sort of feast or famine. I get that. But offensively, you look at the numbers, they're there. But it's the Hazel Bakers and the Diaz guys that are carrying them, as opposed to, you know, the Wongs, the Grichiks. You know, Holiday hasn't really got it going. Carpenter. And I think that's what hurts them when they're facing really good pitching. Those are the guys that got to get it done.
That is an excellent point, Cat. A lot of their home runs are coming from. What's that?
No, go ahead. We said it was an okay point.
No, I think it's a great point because you look at all the home runs they've hit, and more than 20 of them have come from guys. I think it was Bernie Eccles that pointed this out to me. It was, I was checking here. You know, the more than 20 of their home runs that they have are from guys who weren't with the team at the start of last year. So this power display is needed. It's desired. It's important. But a lot of it's coming from Moss. It's coming from, like you mentioned, Diaz and Hazel Baker. And you're right. They're not those first two series against winning teams. I mean, they struck out so much. They struck out a game and a half, the equivalent of a game and a half in six games against the Cubs and Pirates. That's not a way to keep a team close or to stay in a close game. And that's detrimental. You're right. I mean, I'm not sure what kind of offense this Cardinals is, except for it's one that really takes advantage and fattens up on bad teams, which is not a bad thing. It's just it just has to be recognized for what it is, an opportunistic offense.
Would you expect them to do anything to change things up, to make a deal or anything to put a little spark in the team, or is it too early for that?
Like this week?
Well, I don't even know what they do, but I can't believe that they're watching the team right now and thinking, yeah, this group is going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It is a little odd timing and hard timing and early timing for a trade. You know, we're coming up on the weeks where teams bring up their top prospects, and kind of in partially because of service time, but they can bring them up and sort of bring them up under the cloak of that kind of jolt that you're talking about. But I got to tell you, Doug, the top prospects are already here, with the exception of Alex Reyes. So I'm not sure the Cardinals can go that route. And Alex Reyes has a few more weeks on his suspension before he's eligible. And, you know, would he help? I'm not sure that that's the kind of jolt that you're looking for. The more likely thing is that they hold on and see what Johnny Peralta brings and how having him as shortstop and where Diaz goes to play, either to spell Peralta or to play second base, what that does for the lineup.
How do you think they would handle that? Because obviously you want to see what Peralta can bring, but if Diaz is still lighting it up, you got to get him in there.
Yeah, he can play other positions. I think he can readily play other positions. There's a lot to throw on him, but the bat makes him earn it. You know, I mean, he does need to. He's doing what other guys aren't. I mean, you said it yourself. I mean, he's a big part of why they are where they are because of his production.
How about Wainwright? You know, you've been there after his starts. It seems like he hasn't got it quite figured out. Better in his last start, no question about it. Every time I tweet something like, because it seems Cardinal fans are, I mean, maybe Twitter's a bad example, but a lot of people are too down on him. I think he'll figure it out. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I spent about 30 minutes, 25 minutes with him the other day for the story that ran in Sunday's paper, just kind of exploring what he was missing and this group that he sort of improvised together to help him. You know, the group that included, I think you've talked about it, Kat, Chris Carpenter, Jonathan Broxton, Derek Lilliquist, and some other folks. He just worked through the bullpen. He told me an interesting thing. The thing I thought that was most interesting, well, a few things. One was that he forced himself to be uncomfortable with his mechanics. because comfortable was not working. He had allowed bad habits to come through. Muscle memory wasn't there. For whatever reason, comfortable for him, if he threw a pitch that he thought, you know, through his body, this is the best pitch I can throw, this is going to go to the right place, it was thigh high, and it was getting crushed. And you only need to look at the statistics. The statistics bear that out. And his line drive rate was up. His ground ball rate had been slashed. Slugging percentage against his fastball went from about 100 to 900 or 800. 800 slugging percentage against some of his other pitches jumped from 500 to 900. So he was getting smashed pretty good, and a lot of that had to do with location. Some of it also has to do with the fact that he's thrown his curveball about the same amount as he always has been, maybe even a tick more, but it's been far less effective. And he called it the worst it's been in his career for a long time, maybe ever. And without that pitch to go to, without that pitch getting a swing and miss, he got four swings and misses on his curveball in Arizona. And obviously not a great place to throw a curveball, but still, got four swings and misses again. In on that, and that was as many as he had combined in the previous three starts. He had never had a swing and miss on his sinker or his sinker. He had not had a swing and miss at all on his sinker until San Diego. So he had to dial in his stuff, and was clearly working through it. But I think you saw a significant jump in the improvement of his pitches and his pitch location in Arizona, and now it's a matter of pitch usage to kind of lead to a deeper game.
I thought his fastball had more life in his last start.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the curveball. He did throw a couple of nasty ones, which we hadn't seen all year, so it did look like he was making progress.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he said that that had to do with he was missing everything by 11 inches, and he had to dial down 11 inches and then also get full, some extension. And what that allowed him to do was it was uncomfortable, but kind of recalibrate his mechanics to drive the pitch a little bit, lower. And as he got through that in the bullpen, then he took it into a game, and all those things that you described are true.
What do you think they'll do about the Grichuk issue? This is a guy they figured out being a middle of the order hitter, maybe hitting 30 home runs, and he's really struggling. What do they do about that?
He is really struggling. They got to keep working him through it. You can't let it go forever, but you also, like back to what Kat was saying, one of the things, that the Cardinals lineup is lacking at times is this depth of production. You have the flash points of production, some of it coming from the eighth spot in the order, mind you, but you have these flash points of production, but you don't have the depth. And the big thing with the Cardinals was, they wanted to have Piscotty and wanted to have Grichuk in these prominent roles, not just in the field, but in the lineup, because then they could fill guys in around them. And Brandon Moss wasn't going to be the cleanup hitter. Brandon Moss is going to be a guy who, if he struck out, it wasn't going to be, in the middle of everything. It was going to be toward the end, and that would be all right, because if he hit a home run, it was the difference between a two-run inning and a four- or five-run inning. It was, he was really pulling the Cardinals ahead and really being the final blow for the offense. But as you look at it now, Brandon Moss is more prominent because of Grichuk's struggles. And so it underscores what the Cardinals wanted to do and what they still need to be as an offense and how to get him there. I don't know. I mean, the last time it was pitch recognition, you could see that. I know that he told reporters, and it was in this morning's paper with Hummel's notebook, that, now it's a mechanical thing. Sometimes that can just be a guy searching for reasons, and they're not all right. They're just helping him kind of search, give him reasons for his struggles, and the end result is just struggles. So I don't know how to fix it for him. They're in a spot where they just kind of have to hope he pulls himself out of it. I think this is a little different than that first time. I mean, you saw him just have problems recognizing pitches, and Now it's a case of he's recognizing them. It's that he's just not making contact with them. And that is, that's a habit that he's had, and it's a habit that he's tried to break, and it's a habit that he's made great strides getting away from, even really changing himself at times as a hitter. But he falls into these lapses, and you know, making them shorter is what the Cardinals have to figure out how to do.
Now, Colton Wong went through that flu thing where he lost a lot of weight. And
7 pounds.
It wasn't pretty. But they're waiting for him to get going offensively, and, you know, some of that has, I think, infected his defense, too.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think they're going to how do you handle that? I mean, that's a whole different animal than the Grichuk situation.
It is, because you have Aledmys Diaz and Jed Jerko and more alternatives there. Colton was going to bat in the back end of the lineup, so his contributions. To be honest, if he were at, you know, we've seen him make some really dynamic defensive plays, and, you know, like the scout phrase is, you see a guy do it, you know it's in there. It's the consistent ones that he's struggled with, or the routine ones. Sorry, it's the routine ones that he's struggled being consistent with, and you can just see how, a lot like Aledmys Diaz, the game just kind of revs up on him. And he's just, I think I described it the other day, that he just has a skittish tachometer, as opposed to all these other guys who are playing at the same RPM, regardless of the play. He's not. And you could see really clearly how he has the ability defensively to just be in the lineup every day and get the at-bats he needs to grow on the job offensively. But he can't be in the lineup every day, or won't be, if he can't play the defense consistently. So I think if he just, like you said, it's like the two are mixing for him, and that's causing problems. If he were just the reliable defender with the ability for greatness, which he has, then he would be in the lineup a lot more, and all the at-bats would build on them, the experience would build on them. He would understand how to take his walks, how to kind of fight through some slumps, shorten them a little bit, because the experience would be available to him. But they just haven't been able to do that because of the defense.
And he has no extra base hits, which I think is really surprising. Not one so far.
The Cardinals have not played all that well, Kat. I mean, these stats don't surprise me, because they're a below 500 team right now, and that's a little better than maybe what they deserve, because they pounded on some really terrible, awful AAA caliber teams.
Yeah, talking about Wong, you think when Peralta gets back, Diaz might be the second baseman?
Sure. Who's producing?
Yeah, well, Diaz is the guy who's producing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, can the Cardinals be choosy on this? Do they have the chance? Have they created such a cushion that they can choose and go, hey, no, we're going to sit the guy who's being the most productive player of any position player we have? No, I don't think they're in that spot. I don't think they're that good.
Yeah, it seems pretty obvious. You just wonder if they'd be quick to give the hook to Wong and or Grichuk both for somebody else when they have been seen as such important building blocks to the club.
I just don't see it as an either or, though, Doug. I think there's room for it all. It's just a matter of who has the more at bat. I don't think it's a case of, hey, Diaz is the starting second baseman every day, because they don't have a starting second baseman every day. He's just going to be the starter more often if he's producing, which is sort of what they have. They have starters. They have everyday starters like the catcher and the third baseman and the left fielder, and probably the right fielder and Insigne Piscotty. And then they have these most often starters. Hey, he's earned the chance to be the most often starter. And it almost changes week to week based on matchup or current production or wish for production or hope for production. But I don't think you're saying that Diaz would be the starter at second base, or that Grichuk would be replaced at center field. It's just that the amount of playing time for that guy would be reduced. And in Grichuk's case, they would need an alternative for, you know, for him to lose playing time, a very consistent and reliable who's hitting wild alternative. And in Wong's case at second base, they have one when Peralta's back.
So when they get Peralta back, Pham isn't too far away. I don't know how they're going to handle that with their outfield rotation. But do you think that they're, unless they make some changes, that this is who they are? Or do you think perhaps the starting rotation, a couple of guys that haven't got it going, get it going, it can be a different ball game? How do you look at it? Is this who they are? Or is there hope that things will get better?
I mean, this isn't who they are because Wainwright isn't at his best. This isn't who they are because of where Leak is right now. I think the starting rotation is going to get better, and I think the bullpen is a strength that if the offense just ekes enough runs, then there you go. They can hold that lead. I don't think they're a team that is going to lose every game to teams that are better than them. I don't think that they're a team that's going to continue with this winning percentage of 1-8 against the best teams in the National League. But, you know, that are they going to play 500 against the best teams in the league? I mean, I don't know if they're that team either. They're sort of in that mid-range. They're there with the Dodgers and some other teams that, you know, just are you – you're good enough to contend. Are you good enough to dominate when you're at your best? And, you know, the Cardinals are good enough to contend, and they're better than what they showed against the Nationals, but they're a team still kind of searching a little bit. They need some improvements.
Eric Gould of the Post-Dispatch and the Writer's Block from 12 to 2 here on the radio station with us on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Derek, appreciate the time, sir. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Thank you, Gouldy.
Derek Gould with us on the Appliance Discounters phone lines. Derek with a very blunt assessment as to why the Cardinals are 1-8 against teams with their name records. They're not as good as them. How about that analysis? Straight to the point.
They're certainly not right now. I don't know that it means that they can't be.
Well, he did say if Wainwright is close to what he can be, Leak gets it together.
Yeah, that's what you need. Team. You need those two. And Leak was so good in spring training, and so was Grichuk, for that matter. I mean, both of them were really dominant players in spring training.
And Grichuk is a streaky hitter anyway. You know, like, if he goes on a roll where he has three or four games where he's crushing the ball, then it looks totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Can he get to that?
Yeah.
Hopefully starting tonight.
Well, that's the hope. That is the hope.
And you'll be there watching in the stands on the notepad?
I might be there briefly. I might be there briefly.
Why, are they giving away free food?
No, it's $10 to eat.
Mm. Good big treats?
I may go there. Yeah, they do have pretty good food. $10 press food, that's not bad. So I may walk over there and have dinner and watch an inning or two.
And you do pay it?
Well, of course I do.
The Cat, you can watch the Cardinals or the Blues at the Post Sports Bar and Grill.
No better place to watch Blues hockey in the playoffs, Cardinals baseball, than the Post Sports Bar and Grill, unless you're actually at the game, Tim. Great specials for Blues playoff hockey games. Special pricing on 22-ounce domestic drafts. That's nice. Free Blue Note shots when Alexander Steen lights the lamp. And for the Cards, they got ticket giveaways for Tuesday and Friday games, plus when Randall Grichuk goes deep, a free Redbird shot. You can't get to the game, you get yourself to the Post Sports Bar and Grill, and stay posted, my friends.
The Post. The Plowhawk is the official Postmaster General. We haven't spoken with him yet. The Plow Shark. Hello, Plow Shark.
Hello, Plowsy. Plowsy? Plowsy!
Nurse? Nancy?
He's mad at us.
Lane? He just said the hell with it, and he left. He just said the hell with it, and he left.
You think he's mad at us?
They do have good wings at the Post.
He may have had his feelings hurt.
Doug, I think I use Grubhub for the Post. I think it's Grubhub I use for the Post.
You don't even know. You just, here's my money.
Here's my money.
Bring me the food, boy.
Might be a nice play for Blues hockey tomorrow night. Late start. Will you eat later because of the late start?
No, sir. I can't eat much later. By 6:30, I am ready to eat.
And what do you have? General Sows.
I don't know what I'll have tomorrow.
Kind of fun. It's kind of fun to guess.
It's just not that much fun. It won't be great.
You know what Doug enjoys? Pecan pie. That's what he enjoys.
I can't stand pecan pie.
Why?
And I don't say pecan pie. I say pecan pie, and
well,
I can't stand
it. Because you're fancy.
No, I'm not fancy. I don't enjoy. I like almost every type of pie except for pecan pie.
Lemon meringue?
Love it.
You know what I picture right now?
What?
It's like the seventh inning of a red-hot Cardinals game. You tuck the napkin inside the collar of your shirt, and you have a lemon meringue pie. Eat the whole thing.
I like
and then
that.
You do your journalism.
Yeah. Key lime pie, love that.
It's a little
cherry pie. Yep. It's all good, except that pecan pie. No, thank you.
Kelly Chase going to be with us in the Tease Farms, 9 o'clock hour. Kelly Chase brought to you by GFI Digital. That's coming your way in about 5 minutes. Can't wait to hear Chase's perspective on the weekend in Dallas. Blues evening up the series yesterday with the 4-3 overtime win. Tomorrow night in St. Louis, Thursday night in St. Louis. Game 5 is now a lock to take place, and that'll be Saturday in Dallas at American Airlines Center. So we'll get Kelly Chase's perspective, brought to you by GFI Digital. That is coming your way in a matter of moments. If you're looking to tighten it up, and a lot of people are, Doug, because people are getting ready for the Brentwood Forest pool season.
When's the pool open there, Tim?
Around Memorial Day?
Yeah, could be. Well, with global warming, maybe you'd move it up a couple of weeks.
Yeah, maybe that would be the move. They are located on Lindbergh, about a mile south of I-44 and Lindbergh. 314-849-7400, 314-849-7400. I don't know what the hell Doug Schlenk did to me on Thursday, but come
you
here,
like complain
come here and grab my inner thighs. Because
who is that question? Who is that?
That was you.
No.
Come here and grab my inner thighs because I'm still feeling it, and it was Thursday.
Yeah, pretend it's a Thursday night.
No, I'm across the table. I can't reach your inner thighs.
I don't know. I have long legs.
You are kind of a leggy brunette.
Leggy bald. It's Evolve Personal Fitness. Group classes, private sessions, Evolve Personal Fitness. Online at evolvepersonalfit.com. 314-849-7400. 314-849-7400. Kelly Chase next, brought to you by GFI Digital. Talking Blues playoff hockey. It's next on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. CBS Sports, 105.7 HT2 FM, 920 AM. InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Today on the road at Ryan Kelly's World Headquarters in Brentwood.